Well, last year I went and I asked the kids, well, what do you want to go through or what do you want to do? And I gave them all the different options. And one of the options I gave them is, do you want to just go through a book of the Bible? And they said, yeah, like, that's what we would like to do. We want to go through a book of the Bible. And I said, okay, well, what book would you like to go through? And they said, well, we don't know. You're the leader. You pick one. And I said, well, I like the book of James. Let's go through James. And so we did that. And while we were going through the book of James, we came to this verse where James says, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? And so for us, if you've grown up into the church, you understand Rahab, you understand her story, all right? You get it, okay? You get this reference. But the kids that I'm sharing with at Laconia High School, they have no reference of who Rahab is. I had a kid that asked me, what's the difference between the Old and the New Testament? That she didn't even have that concept of what that was. And so when I got to discussing this verse and unpacking this verse, I said, I need to explain to the kids who Rahab is, what her story is. And so the week before, I went and I researched, okay, where are the biblical references here? What does this look like? How can I summarize her story? And as I went through and I dug through Rahab's story, I was amazed at just what a cool story she has. And so I shared it with the kids, but then I was motivated even more than that to say, you know what? God's people need to be reminded of the significance of a story, because we all have a story. And all of our stories have value. And God uses every single one of our stories. And so I want to unpack Rahab's story and what God did in Rahab's life. And he can do the same thing in our lives as well. So we're going to start in Joshua, and it starts in Joshua 2, and I'm going to go from verse 1 through 21. So you're going to follow along with me, and then we'll open in a word of prayer after that. It says, then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two of the spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived on was part of the city wall. She said to them, "Go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way." Now the men had said to her, "This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless we enter the land you have tied this scarlet cord on in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into your house. If any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear." "Agreed," she replied. "Let it be as you say." So she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. This is God's word. I'm going to pray to open us up. Father, we've heard your word, and we've heard the story of Rahab. Father, give me your voice, your words, to be able to deliver your message. Father, we thank you so much for the Bible and that we have the freedom to be able to open it up anytime we want. And so, Lord, I ask that we just bless this time together. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. So Rahab, the prostitute. That's the label that she is given. We have labels today too, don't we? We have some that are very positive. You know, like this morning, like I feel like the label of preacher and giving God's word is a positive label. You know, you can be an athlete. That's a label. You can be an intellect. You can be a farmer. Like, those are all different labels. But there's some labels that can certainly be damaging, and we've experienced those in this world as well. I'm sure you've heard things and maybe have even been guilty of these things. I know I have. Where you look at that individual and you're just like, man, what a bum. What a loser they are. Man, that person's just a constant failure. Man, that dude's psycho. And then we have this label of prostitute. And we have slangs in our world that would reference this individual as well. Labels can prejudice us towards others. And I'm guilty of it. I mean, I'm guilty of it even this morning. I mean, I've given the last 2 decades to Youth for Christ ministry, and yet I watch that video of some of our kids, and I look at those kids, and like when one of the kids says, one of the concerns that I have is college. And in my mind, I'm like, really? College? I don't know if you're quite the college type of fella. So we all have that. And we all need to be aware of the labels that we're giving other people and the damage that those labels can do. I want us to step out for a second and think of Rahab's story and think about that biblical label in today's world. She was a prostitute, right? How would we react in the small community of Randolph? if Rahab was part of our community and we all knew what she did? How would we treat her as believers? What if she walked in the gym doors this morning and wanted to worship with us, dressed in her occupational clothing? How would we interact with her? What would we think of her? How many side conversations would we have? Can you believe that she thought that she fit here this morning? Labels prejudice us against others, and we don't even know their story. A lot of times we make judgments, especially in this world, we make judgments on people without even knowing who they are or what their story is. Fortunately, we serve a God that doesn't let labels define us and who we are. See, God sees us differently, and He has different labels for us. Take the example of Rahab. You know, the label that was given was prostitute, but the label that God gave her was she was brave. She was someone of bravery. How do I know that? Because she went up against the king of Jericho and defended and protected those slaves. The king was the highest of the high in that society, and she was most likely the lowest of the low. And yet she was brave enough to go up against the king. And why did she do that? Because she feared and recognized the one true God. She understood that the God of the Israelites was the true God. And she didn't let the label of prostitute define her. She wanted to be a follower of the one true God. Now, where is this evident? Well, if we look in verse 9, Rahab is quoted in saying, "The Lord has given you this land." She recognizes that God is the one that's given the land to the Israelites. She also says in the very next verse, "The Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea." She understood that God, the one true God, the God of the universe, was the one that dried up the Red Sea so that the Israelites could cross through. And then in verse 11 it says, "For the Lord your God is God of heaven above and on the earth below." She understood that this was Creator God, the one true God, and she wanted to put her trust in that God. And because of that, God turned her life around. There's more evidence that Rahab's life was redeemed by God in Scripture. In Joshua 6, just a few chapters later, it says, "But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her because she had hid the men. Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day." So not only did she believe in the one true God, she wanted to be a part of God's people. And because of what she did, Joshua says, "Absolutely, you recognize who God is. You can be a part of us." And she lived with them to the day that this was written. She embraced the truth of who God was. And we're not done. There's even more. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. And it says, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Rahab is mentioned alongside all the amazing faith founders, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. And there's only two women in Hebrews 11 that are recognized, Abraham's wife Sarah and Rahab. She's a part of the faith chapter. Then we look at the verse that I kind of opened up with, James. James, who grew up with Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus, says this, in the same way was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. Here James is saying that she is righteous. So what does righteous mean? Righteous means that she was right with God. Rahab put her trust in the one true God. And later, Jesus' own sibling said, she is righteous. She is right with God. However, the verse that blew my mind the most comes from the Gospel of Matthew. When it starts out in Matthew 1 with the genealogy of Jesus, and it said, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King Ahab. Rahab is in the genealogy of Jesus. She is one of five women that is recognized in the genealogy of Jesus. She's the great, great grandmother of King David, a man after God's own heart. She was Boaz's mother. Now, if you understand the story of Ruth and Boaz, you understand the incredible integrity Boaz had from leaving grain for Ruth, from understanding that his responsibility was to be the redeemer of Ruth and marry Ruth, and then also that he had to get permission from the elders because there was someone before him. Like, he did all those steps in guidelined with God's law. Where do you think Boaz learned that from? His mom. He learned it from his mom. Rahab, the prostitute, her life was radically transformed. Her story radically changed because of the one true God. So, the significance of a story. The God that Rahab served is the same God that we serve today. He doesn't let labels define us. He is the redeemer of our stories as well. And because we're so grateful that he's that redeemer, we need to repent just like Rahab did and live our lives of gratitude, modeling the life of Jesus, God's own son. When Jesus was questioned by the Jewish leaders, the religious people, the church people, he told a parable of two sons. This isn't the story of the prodigal son. This is the story of two sons. And so To summarize that parable, it says one of the sons went work in the father's garden. Told dad, no, I'm not going to work in the garden. But then changed his mind and went and did the work anyways. And then the other son said, yeah, dad, I'll go work in your field. I'll go work in the garden. But then also changed his mind and didn't go and do the father's work. And Jesus asked the church leaders, okay, which son was the son that was right? And they said, well, the son that actually did the father's work. And then Jesus said this, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to show you the way of the righteous, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. Tax collectors and prostitutes entering heaven before the righteous, before church leaders, church people. That's a little convicting for me. Which son am I? Am I the one that says, yes, God, I'll go do your work? But then starts to think of myself and, I need to be in church because that's a good thing and I should do this stuff. But, man, really, to be all in, I don't know. I just want to do Christianity. I don't necessarily want to be a Christian. So many times we judge others and we will let their labels define them. And we do that both in the church and outside the church. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, God has created us as his masterpiece. Now you think about that. If someone gave you a masterpiece, say someone went and said, hey, I want you to have the Mona Lisa in your house, and you can have that in your house to display. How would we treat that? How would we protect that? What would we do? Would we just throw it underneath the couch? Or we would display it and take all sorts of precautions to protect it? God is saying that we are his masterpiece. We are priceless. And so many times we don't treat each other as God's masterpieces. And far too often we don't even see ourselves as God's masterpiece or treat ourselves as a masterpiece. But we are created in God's image. In Romans 3, verse 23, it says, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, every single one of us. We need to understand we're no better than anybody else. No matter what faith they're part of, if they have a faith, if they're in the church, what denomination they are, we're no better. We're all broken. And because we all fall short, we shouldn't be ashamed to share our story with others. Just like Rahab's story has great significance, and we are encouraged by listening to it today, your story is powerful as well. And sharing our stories offers encouragement to others. And I think one of the lies that Satan wants us to believe is that our story doesn't matter. And it doesn't have significance. And time again, I've encouraged people to share their stories, and every single time without fail, God has shown up, and it has been a powerful experience. Just 2 weeks ago, I was on a men's retreat that I was leading up by Eagle River. And I said, we're just going to relax. We're going to do guy things. We're going to shoot guns. We're going to fish. We're going to, you know, do whatever we need to do. We're just going to have a relaxed thing. The only thing is that I want to hear your story. That's it. I want to hear your story. And I want you to be okay with dropping your wall enough so that I can see who you truly are. And there was one guy that didn't share. And I'm like, nah, dude, you're not going to get away with this. And so breakfast that morning, on Sunday morning, I looked at him and I said, you haven't gone yet. What's your story? He says, I don't have a story. And I said, nah, that's a lie. That's a lie. You have a story, and your story is just as powerful as anybody else's. And he says, well, this is just kind of what I've been through. And he shared part of his story. And then all of a sudden, he broke. He broke and just sobbed with the rest of the guys. And he had lost a very, very dear family member. And he had been holding all that in. And he broke and he says, I just miss him so much. And for us as guys, we were able to come alongside of him and support him and embrace him and love on him. And I know that guy now more. And I see him closer. And I don't let any labels define who he is because I know his story. We have to be okay with sharing our story. That's how we grow together as the body of Christ. Don't let labels define you. Don't define others by their labels. But learn their story. Because God, just like with Rahab, can use anyone's story, even to the point of being in the line of Jesus. That's our responsibility as a church. And it doesn't matter if you meet them in the grocery store, if they're sitting next to you this morning. Love them the way that Jesus loves you. And your story matters, just like Rahab's. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for just being our God. Lord, the way you work in our lives, the way that you use us. Lord, so many times we doubt ourselves and we question ourselves, or just like this guy, we feel like we don't have a story or our story doesn't matter. Lord, help us not to believe in that lie. Lord, help us to understand that the same God that Rahab saw and that Rahab trusted is the same God that you are today. Lord, help us to just be able to put our trust in you and believe in your Son and model our lives after him. But Lord, when we mess up, pick us up and forgive us, because, Lord, we need a Savior. We need a Redeemer. We need to recognize that that Redeemer is Jesus, your one and only Son, who paid for all our screw-ups, all our mess-ups, all our sin. Thank you for being that God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.